This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. American teenagers are now getting the least amount of sleep that they ever have. And teens will tell you themselves how little sleep they are getting and how it affects them.
Now I get up at like 5:40 or 6 o'clock. It affects my ability to like focus in school because like, you know, I'm tired and I want to go to sleep and I don't really have a lot of energy.
But normally I feel cranky coming to school and I try and sleep because these classes are boring. So it'd be tempting to sleep because if I don't get enough sleep, I'll be cranky. I'll be mean to people.
I go to sleep really late. Like the latest that I could stay up on the school day is probably around 3, and it's really not helping when I have to wake up early. If I'm like really tired and I'm doing something I don't want to do, my attitude, like you'll definitely be able to tell that I have an attitude more than if I was like already like feeling fine, because when I'm tired, I'm already kind of moody.
I could have a homework assignment that's supposed to be the next day and I didn't do it, and I'll be on my laptop all night long working on it, which makes it annoying because then I'll fall asleep and then I wake up later in the night like, dang it, let me finish this assignment before my mom wakes me up to go to school.
I think I get enough sleep, but not at the right times. So I'll be able to get some sleep at night. And then when I go back to school, I might sleep in class one or two times throughout the week. I think it's normal, but I don't want that to happen.
Sound like any teens you know? Those folks are Alethea, Laron, Rochelle, Zariah, and Zion, eighth graders at Manchester Academy Charter School in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. An average night's sleep for teens? Well, it has shrunk to just 6.5 hours. And contrary to popular belief, when your teen sleeps until noon, it may not be there avoiding their chores. Teens need more sleep than adults to help support critical brain development. These are the conclusions of my next guests, authors of a new book about teenagers and sleep. And along with loads of other interesting ideas about why teens are sleepless, not only in Seattle, but just about everywhere, including the idea that the switch we are making to daylight savings time is a bad idea, sleep-wise, for teenagers. The book is Generation Sleepless, Why Teens and Tweens Are Not Sleeping Enough and What We Can Do to Help Them. The authors are Heather Turgeon and Julie Wright. They're psychotherapists and sleep specialists. Heather joins us from Los Angeles and Julie from New York City. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So excited.
I want to tell our listeners that we're taking our calls for you live about adolescent sleep. You can give us a call, 1-844-724-8255 or 1-844-SCI-TALK. Let me say that again, 844-724-8255, 844-SCI-TALK. Do you care for a teenager? Are you struggling to help them get to bed at reasonable times? Do you think school start times should be pushed back to allow teens to get more sleep? Our number, 844-724-8255. Heather, we just heard from some teens who are quite cranky, it sounded like, from lack of sleep. And I know in your book, you argue that some of the negative stereotypes we have about teens, meaning moody, rebellious, and risk takers, are actually because lack of sleep. What's going on in teens' brains that might be causing this?
Well, wow, were those such powerful illustrations of what we see all the time with teenagers. Those were amazing. So, the first thing to know about the teenage brain is that it's entering into a whole new period of remodeling. We used to think that brain, you know, changes were basically done in the early years, in early childhood, but science has really shown us that the second decade of life is absolutely pivotal for brain development. So the frontal lobes of the brain are really rewiring and strengthening and pruning and integrating with the rest of the brain. So, and the very neat thing to know about that is that a lot of that brain construction happens during sleep. So, you know, it explains a lot. It explains why teenagers need more. Sometimes they need more than their younger siblings because of this new phase of development. And it sure does explain why they feel so terrible when they're chronically sleep deprived.
Yeah. Well, Julie, why isn't adolescent sleep more of a priority? Why is there this fundamental misunderstanding about the importance of getting enough sleep?
Well, you know, like Heather said, teenagers have they're very good at looking like mini adults. And I think there's long been this idea that they're tough, they're resilient, they can tough it through, you know, their academics and their, you know, piling on of activities to prepare for their college applications are more important. So sleep keeps falling to the bottom of the list. And we just don't understand how vulnerable they are during this time when they don't get enough sleep. Not only does this remodeling and restructuring not happen as well, but it makes them much more vulnerable to mental health issues. It's no coincidence that there's also a mental health crisis going on among today's teenagers. The brain works differently. We all know how terrible it feels to be sleep deprived. We know that the prefrontal cortex of the brain, the part of our brain that makes us uniquely human and helps us make sense of things and be reasonable and have perspective and insight, that part of the brain, it's often called the executive function, is less active when we're sleep deprived. And our lower brain, the amygdala, where we have our stress responses and are more likely to be reactive and feel more negative emotions, is more active. So this explains why, you know, teenagers and any of us really are cranky, but teenagers are going to feel it more because of what's going on in their brain and also because of what we describe as a perfect storm of factors that is stealing their sleep.
Heather, how much sleep should teens be getting every night?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when researchers give teens the opportunity to sleep as much as they'd like, teens will sometimes sleep 12 hours at a stretch. So, and that's because they've piled up so much sleep debt. So it's amazing to see their powers of sleep are so strong. And I think most parents of teenagers have, or just if we remember what it felt like to be a teenager, we know we could sleep for, you know, 10 to 12 hours. So, but what happens after teens make up for their sleep debt is that they average out to about 9.25 hours of optimal sleep. So that's from age 10 to 18. So sleep needs do not change really between those, you know, in those years. And so 9.25 could be considered optimal sleep. And that's what we, in our book, we describe as optimal sleep. But 8 hours a night is what we consider adequate sleep. And that's because when teens sleep less than 8 hours, fewer than 8 hours a night on a regular basis, it's correlated with a lot of negative outcomes. So it's kind of a tipping point, I would say, 8 hours. And that's what we aim for because, you know, I think we said earlier that teens are, you said 6.5 hours is what most teens are getting. So if we can just get them up to 8 hours, that would be enormous.
But how do you tell a teenager to do anything?
It's the million
that's
dollar
the million
question.
Dollar.
Yeah, I mean, if you say to a teenager, you should be sleeping more, put down that iPhone or whatever, or your pad, or go to sleep. How do you get them to listen? That is the big, the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And technology makes it all the more complicated. But Heather and I put on our therapist hats for this part of the book. And we talk about how absolutely teenagers do not want to be just told what to do or judged or nagged. So what we want to do with them is really start by listening to them, by having empathy for them, by joining in with them on things in their life that they talk about, or, you know, we can always find signs of things in their lives that they care about that we can relate back to sleep. Maybe they want to do better in school or at a sports or other activity. Maybe they talk about not feeling great, like those teenagers we heard earlier. And looking for ins and helping them sort of come up with solutions to how they're feeling that are relatable to sleep. It takes time and it takes patience, and it's the opposite of just telling them what to do. But when we listen with empathy, we can find a way in so that we're on their team and we're there to help them come up with their own solutions.
Do they understand that there's more than just rest going on in their brains, that the brain is actually active like you were talking about before and needs to sleep? Does that work at all?
Yeah, it does, because I think, you know, teenagers like to learn about their brains. They are curious. They like, you know, all teens like to feel good. And giving them that information and what you said is so important, that we do have a misconception of sleep as being rest when sleep is really active brain construction time. So I do think that, you know, telling them that missing 2 hours of sleep every night is not missing 2 hours of rest. It's missing 2 hours of brain construction. A lot of teens are really motivated by that.
Yeah, let's go to the phones because there are a lot of folks want to talk about it. Let's go to Ashley in Orlando. Hi, Ashley. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, I went to a school across the major metropolis. It was a magnet school. And so I was often waking up and on the bus before the sun rose. And I think it's a nice theory that daylight savings time might help kids sleep more. But in practice, it throws such a wrench in the works having to reset your body clock. And I don't think kids are really capable of doing that as much as they're capable of conking out with the lights still on.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I get absolutely nothing from that. It would just be one thing if you could wake up as the sun rises or something like that, but that's not the way the clock works, daylight savings time or without.
Would it help, do you think, if it were permanent daylight savings time,
permanent,
Ashley?
Permanent, yes. Either way, I don't care which hour it is, but steady as it goes makes life a lot easier.
Heather, thank you. Let me get a reaction to that, because in the book, you folks come down heavily against permanent daylight savings time, don't you?
Yeah, that's the scientific consensus, that we'd be better off following standard time, because standard time is not an arbitrary time. Standard time is actually set to be an approximation of the solar day. So sunrise and sunset are more closely mimicked with standard time. So following the natural path of the sun and being most of us getting sunlight before we start our day. The problem for teenagers and like was just also in the early that they never get morning sun. So this is already a problem. They're already struggling to wake up in the dark and be in school and sometimes take a calculus exam when they have never even seen the morning sun. And so permanent daylight saving time would make that worse.
Let's go to David. David in Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hey there. Go ahead.
Hi. So... One, yeah, I agree, because I teach middle and high school, and then my youngest is a senior graduating this year. And I remember in high school, again, not to be like a get-off-my-own-lawn kind of thing, is if I have the one few nights I used to go to bed at 11 to be half up, even getting up at 7, I was a train wreck. But my question is, why? I mean, I was listening to the students, and I'm like, why are you up at 3 a.m.? Why? And I get, you know, there are some times where the one should say that I forgot to do a homework assignment. I can't believe that's a regular thing. I hope not. But why are they up? I mean, with my own youngest, right, especially early high school, like 8th, 9th, 10th grade, he would be up till 1 in the morning sitting on his laptop watching YouTube or anime or something that I'm going, dude, go to bed. And then he would go to bed. Right? And I'm like, buddy. Why are you awake?
Oh, okay, we feel your pain. We feel your pain, David. Thanks for calling. Let me get an answer, but first remind everybody that this is Science Friday from WNYC Studios. And yes. Julie, Heather, what do you say to
yes,
distraught this is, teacher there?
Yeah, this is, we relate to this so much. And, you know, we describe a perfect storm of factors that cause modern teens to especially, you know, lose sleep. And those include, you know, what Heather described as the natural delay in the brain clock. So teenagers naturally feel sleepy later and want to sleep later. That's a normal developmental path. The melatonin rises later. And then you add to that homework overload. So today's teens have more homework than some of us did when we were teenagers. And when you add to that, you know, piling up of activities to show up on your college application, which can really steal time from the teenager's afternoon and evening. And then when you add to that, the advent of technology, and I think that is what this caller, what David referred to mostly, is how addicting technology is, how it pulls us in, how it engages us, and how it creates a state of flow that it's very hard to pull away from. It's very hard to even know how much time has gone by. So there are multiple factors that are stealing sleep. And then at the other end of their night, of course, are the two early school start times. So it's really our book. The second half of the book is all dedicated to helping families, teenagers, and their parents look at sleep in the home. So ways to communicate about sleep, ways to start to make changes in the home so that everybody can go to bed a little bit earlier and start to change their habits around sleep. It's not easy. It takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of good communication and modeling by the parents as well. But it's absolutely possible. And we also want society to take its part. We want schools to look at all of these factors. We want technology companies to work on more responsible design. We really want this to be a call out to society and not just a finger pointed at parents.
And what about peer pressure? If you, let's say you want to do this, you're a teen, you want to do this, but all your friends are going to say, "Oh, what a nerd," you know? You know, what you're listening to your parents? You're not going to text me on, you know, or share with me on your pad in the middle of the night? I don't get it.
It's definitely true, because teenagers have socially wired brains. So, you know, they're taken away by technology, and it's really hard to turn off those FaceTime and social media and all of that. But what if we also rebranded sleep as being cool? It's not, you know, I think that actually teenagers, you know, they like to feel good. They like to learn about their brains. And I think that, you know, modern teens are actually pretty interested in knowing all of this, you know, so I think that it's possible that we can use that to motivate them and to change our relationship with sleep.
Okay, we'll have a lot more to talk about. We have to take a break, and we will come back and talk more with Heather Turgan and Julie Wright, psychotherapists and sleep consultants, and they have written a book about sleeping, why teens, it's called Generation Sleepless, Why Teens and Tweens Are Not Sleeping Enough and What We Can Do to Help Them. We're trying to help you on our phones. Our number, 844-724-8255, 844-SCI-TALK, 844-724-8255. As they say, we have lines open, so don't be afraid to call in. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. This is Science Friday from WNYC Studios.